To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father God, again, we just come to you in your presence. We don't deserve to be here, but you love us. You allow us to be here. You want us to be here in your presence, Lord. So we call upon you. Lord, we call upon you that you would open our eyes like the little children, and the hearts like the little children, and our ears, Lord, to the words that you have to say today. Lord, let it penetrate our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. Lord, I think of all the individuals that are in need of physical healing, and maybe there's other spiritual healings and financial healings. Lord, we lift all these people up to you. And I think of my wife, Christine, today that is going to have knee surgery Tuesday. Lord, as we've been praying, that I pray, Lord, right now that you would move in her knee, every muscle, every tendon, every bone that needs to be moved around, Lord, that your hand would be there along with the doctors. Lord, I just lift her up to you, Lord, that you would bless that operation. You would protect her. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, we're going to read from Ephesians. I think it's set up there. It's in the book at 979, page 979. This is a very common section that we all know. And sometimes when God gives me messages in my finite mind inadequacies, I always think, Lord, this is so elementary. Why? But it is so important every single day that we do these little things that God wants us to do. And I remember years ago, a pastor told me, if God's word was sufficient for one day, it is sufficient for every day that we hear these things. So let's read Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. And I'm going to read the rest too. It doesn't make any sense, right? And as for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Now, these are things that are not elementary. That we know them in the sense they're elementary, that we do know them. We've read them all the time. But this is really where the rubber meets the road and the things that happen in our life. And when the elders were praying today, two things stuck out. Tom Bork prayed that you would feel the enthusiasm that I feel, that the word that God gave me, I hope that the Holy Spirit portrays the enthusiasm that I have for this today. And the other, thank you. And the other thing is that Ken prayed, and this is, I want to say this because I hope to convey this, that Ken prayed that Jesus, the name of Jesus, would be on our tongue in the exact moment that something happens in our life. Instead of us, Chris Ray, taking over, Jesus would take over. Amen? Could you put that picture up for me? There it is. Here's a picture. Did we have the title, too, or? I gave the guy one task. That's all. Thank you, Jason. He gave me a hard time about this picture anyway. Here's a picture that I saw several months ago with my daughter downtown at the Erie Street Market. They have a place called the Art Alley. And this was a picture that I ran across that I thought was so thought-provoking. The title of this picture is, What Weapon Will You Choose? The first thing that I thought of, this is really bizarre for me, I think, but the first thing that I thought of was, in years past, I have this thought that if I lived in a third world country or a country that I could not read the Bible and that I could not pray and that I could not go out and meet with other people, what would I do? So I think about Saturday afternoon after dinner, you're sitting there, maybe you're reading, maybe you're praying, maybe you're watching TV, and you get this big banging thud on the door. And you go and answer it, and it's the religious police. And they've heard about Chris Ray, that he reads the Bible, and that he preaches, and that he believes in this guy named Jesus, and he's claiming that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And these police are in full garment of helmet and breastplate, and they have their weapon of gun of choice, and they have a belt of other weapons on, and they are forcing me to admit that I'm a believer or not. So my thought process is, do I deny it? Did I deny Jesus once? Do I deny Jesus twice? Or maybe even I deny him three times as these soldiers are at my door asking me what I believe. And they get a little agitated and they get a little closer to my door and they're asking me, who do you believe in? And I remember that I have some money in my back pocket. And I reach in and I offer them money if they would leave my house. If they would leave my family, could I give them money, bribery, to leave us alone? Or, as they got even more agitated, now they're inside the door, the guns are pointed at my face, your face, and they're saying, who do you believe in? And you get scared, you run to the bedroom, to the secret place where your weapon is, your gun, and you bring your gun to the conflict. Or do you shout, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I believe in Jesus. As I think about this, and for me, I think that's one of maybe one of those big things that happened in life, and you could call on Jesus because you know this is way bigger than you. But what about the little things that Ken talked about that prayed for me, that prayed for all of us? What about the little things in life that happen in our lives? Are you calling out the name of Jesus? That song was so appropriate. The name of Jesus, you call him out all the time. In the name of Jesus when you run across a conflict. I have to tell you about a dream I had too regarding this as I was lamenting over this. I had a dream, and the dream was that my wife and I, my son and I, and my son and my daughter-in-law were in the car of all places, Oregon, Ohio. They're looking for a house. And on the top of the hill, you know, Oregon has a lot of hills and mountains, right? So on top of this hill is this house. It's for sale. Now, we just drive by. We want to take a look at it. And we can't get inside, but that's okay. We want to look at the surrounding. Beautiful decorations around it. Woods. Got a brook running through it. Some hills that Carter, little Carter, could slide down the hill. It's a beautiful place. We're looking in the windows. And you know how dreams happen. Boom, I'm in the house. We're in the house, and we're walking around enjoying it. It's a really nice house. Next thing I know, I have this dark figure following me. This dark figure is following me throughout the house. It's whispering in my ear, I don't know what this means, you know why you're here. In the name of Jesus, I said in my dream, in the name of Jesus, get behind me. You know why you're here. And we're walking through the house, and I'm getting scared, and I'm yelling, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I said, okay, it's time to go. We walk out to our car. This dark figure is still following me. But I think, oh, I look up. And it, as a dream goes, there was no fence and a gate as I come up to this house, but now there is. Now there happens to be a fence and a gate that I can't get out of. And as I look at this fence and gate, there are dark figures surrounding the gate. And I think to myself in my dream, in the name of Jesus, you gave me a car that has a V8 engine. It has a lot of power. I am going to start this engine and I'm going to go through the gate. Amen. I get in, I start the car, and I push the pedal, and put. My dream ends. That's how dreams go, though, right? Who are you going to call? Psalm 50:15 tells us this. I call upon me, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. To God be the glory, right? That's why we should be calling on the name of Jesus. Because we already know he's the one that will deliver us. He's the one that gets the glory. We don't get the glory. But we get to call on the one who does get the glory. And the one who has the weapons. The one who has the power to overcome all of our trivial problems. It is interesting, too, as I talked about this, there are several people, Christians and non-Christians alike, that actually said money. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands because you're in church and your neighbor's here, but I don't know what you thought of the first thing, but some people thought of money, you know, because they probably have troubles and something's going on. Fortunately, no one ever chose the gun, but there are several people, obviously, chose the Bible. I would choose Jesus, but the question in your times of trouble, do you call on Jesus? And maybe the money or the gun isn't the choice of weapon. Maybe it's other weapons that we'll get into. So as you're putting on the garments of armor, you're putting on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes, the readiness given by the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. You're putting these on for that protection that God told you to do. Put on this. This will protect you. Lest we forget one of those. And the argument could be made, if you forgot one, you probably forgot more. But if you forgot one of those, that's the hole the evil one is looking for. That is the foothold that Satan is looking for to come in. And that's when we need to call out the name of Jesus. Because you forgot, he comes in, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? And I really want to focus on verse 17, specifically the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God, right? The word of God is the sword, the weapon that we need to choose. A little trivia. Does anyone know how many words are in the Bible? I know from one version to another there's different, but anyone have an idea? Not you, Dick. Dick can't say anything. Anybody? Over 750,000 words. I think NIV's had 727,000. King James had 789,000. 750,000 words that we get to choose from. Now, not all of them are weapon, the words of and the and those kind of words. But you put that words together in God's holy word, and they are a weapon. But there are some words that we're going to come across today that are weapons that we should have drawn at all times. And I want to look at the world. The gun and the money is going to represent world. Now, as I speak about these two, I want you to be assured of something, that I am not pro-gun or anti-gun, and I'm not pro-money or anti-money. I know we all need money, right? We need money to live, so money's not a bad thing in and of itself. What does the Bible tell us about it? The love of money, right? It's if you love money, and that's where the world comes in, that they can throw money at things, buy people out. So what does a gun or a weapon represent in the world? This is not an exhausted list of words. It was words that I came up and I looked at through the World Wide Web that Scotty always tells you to do. You know, go to the World Wide Web. They got all the answers over there. But these are some words that were represented of gun or a weapon. Power, control, danger, anger, hatred, violence, fear, domination, selfishness. Does that sound familiar? What you see in the world really today, a lot of that's going on right now. In the world, and we're seeing this more and more, and it's so, so sad, but they're really seeing it as a problem solver, specifically guns, right? They think that they could take this weapon out and solve their problems. That's where the world is at. That's not where we want to be. And not that you guys take a gun, but there are sometimes we take a weapon and we take the wrong weapon. We take hatred. We might take fear. We might try and dominate somebody. We might try and control somebody. What does money represent? It has power also. It has fear, guilt, pride, greed, shame. Anger was associated with money. Arrogance, selfishness. And again, the world sees money as a problem solver too. These are the weapons that a lot of times we might choose if we're honest with ourselves. And I really, really want us to look at the words. I don't want you to look at the weapon itself. Don't look at money. Don't look at the gun. I want you to look at the words that I said. These words, are they in your heart? Please don't answer. Is hatred in your heart? Is anger in your heart? Is pride and arrogance in your heart? Those are the worldly weapons that God does not want us to have. Right to the end of Jesus' life here, it's so interesting that Tom would bring this up, that money was right at the end of Jesus' life. Judas, he got bribed to sell Jesus out. Anger and violence was right next to Jesus too at the last days. Peter, Tom brought up Peter again. What did he do? He took out the sword and cut off Malchus, right? Malchus's ear. Money and violence has been around for how long? Since the dawn of age. Since we've been around. It's a fight. This is why Jesus came. This is why we call on the name of Jesus, because this has been around for a long time. It's nothing new. Ecclesiastes 1:9, you guys thought of this when I said that, right? Who thought of Ecclesiastes 1:9? That there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Times have changed. Money's more available. Maybe weapons are more available. Put aside that. It's the humans have been here. Sin has been here. These words that cut people have been here. There's nothing new under the sun. Cain, in the very beginning, in his selfishness, hatred and anger, what did he do? He killed his brother. Selfishness and anger and hatred. It's been around. It's been here. I got Delilah. She was bribed for going out and trying to find Samson's power. The power of money has been around forever and a day. The question is, are you going to use it? Are you going to use violence? Are you going to use bribery? Are you going to be arrogant and prideful? Are you going to shame others? So it comes down to our human, our behaviors. Our human behaviors have not really changed. And in that you will never be able to go to God and justify using hatred. You will never be able to go to God and justify your greed or your pride or your anger. The power that you want to have over somebody for whatever reason, you're not going to be able to justify. God understands it. God knows it. And I tell you these stories, and I know you know it, but we need to hear it again and again and again. I tell you the stories of the fight to do right and wrong, to do good and bad, has been around forever and a day, right? And it's not against what? It's not against the flesh and blood, but the world cuts flesh and blood. But our fight is not against flesh and blood. We know that. It's against the darkness, the principalities, the power, and the spiritual wickedness in the high places, as Ephesians 6:12 tells us. And if that's the case, that's a fight that we cannot fight. It's a fight when we get in our little quarrel with our wife. That is a spiritual warfare. That is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. God does not want you and your spouse to be happy or you and your kids to be happy. He does not want good feelings and good happenings with your neighbor next door. He does not want you to show the peace and joy and the forgiveness that you should have. So, obvious question, who's the most spiritual person you might know? Jesus, 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 Jesus. If it is a spiritual warfare that we fight and Jesus is the most spiritual person, then we got to call on him. Because I don't think one of you said me. Not one of you said, well, I'm pretty spiritual. You know, my next door neighbor, he is, wow, he's really a spiritual person. He's always talking about God and Jesus, but he is not your protector. He's not your man of war. He is not the one that is going to fight your battle. Who is it? Jesus. That song again. Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen. His name is wonderful. Jesus. Call out the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Jesus. All the time. Jesus. God, creator of heaven and earth, and his goodness have existed since when? Since the dawn of time, too. So this has been a battle. It's been a battle, and we know it. And if we know it, we really need to get down to where the rubber hits a road and call out the name of Jesus every single time. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's never going to change. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Again, he is perfect in all ways. In all his ways, he is perfect. Amen? Once we understand who Jesus is, he is God's only begotten Son. He is the Lamb. He is the mediator, the chief cornerstone, our rock, our firm foundation. The Redeemer, the way, the truth, and the life. That's who Jesus is. And if he is all of these things, then he is all of these things to us and for us. I want to read, if you want to go to Hebrews 4:14. This is a verse that you guys know very well. But I think it's so, I don't know, apropos for me. Especially regarding this, but it's one that rings true in my heart all the times. It's how we know that Jesus understands us. Hebrews 4:14, Jesus, the great high priest. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. That should be such a reassurance for us that we have a high priest. We have Jesus who completely understands from the beginning of time and all the happenings to the time you're in right now. There is nothing new under the sun that Jesus doesn't know, that doesn't understand, that hasn't seen. Amen? We have a high priest that is for us, not against us. Exodus 15:2 reads this: "The Lord is my strength and my song," ESV says. The NIV says, "The Lord is my strength and my defense." Now, I didn't look up the word. Maybe song refers to that. I don't really know. But it says, "He is my strength and my defense." He wants to defend us. He wants to protect us from the evil one. He wants to protect us from all the little tits that we might have with our wife or our kids or our coworker. He wants to defend us. All we have to do is what? Call on the name of Jesus. In verse 3 in Exodus 15, it says, "The Lord is a man of war." The Lord is his name. He is a man of war. He will fight for you. Whatever it takes, he will take on that war for you, that battle. In Exodus 14:14, I found this verse: "The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent." The Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is be silent. Now, do you remember what was going on then? This is when the children of Israel were still crying. They were crying because God opened the waters. They passed through, and they were crying and mumbling. Now, he just opened this body of water that they could pass through on dry land, and now they're crying and mumbling. Oh, look, they're coming through too. Well, what are you going to do about that? God says, all right, Lord says to Moses, go and tell them that I'm going to fight for them and I want them to be silent. They don't have to do anything. You just be silent. I'll take care of them. And what happened? The walls of water came down, killed everybody, all the soldiers. As I read that, I was talking to the Lord about that. It says you only have to be silent. I want you to be careful, because this could be tricky, at least for me, is that the Lord wants you to be silent. Be still. The Bible says what? Be still and know that I am God. He wants you to be silent. What he does not want you to do is quit a conversation with him. And when you come across that rift that you had with your wife or somebody, or you know, just run into a financial huge problem, what he doesn't want you to say is, Lord, why did this happen to me? And then you walk away and you're out in the desert someplace without your armor on, and you're standing in the desert for who? For the devil. He doesn't want you to be silent from him. He wants you to be still and know that I am God and that I will fight for you. But I want a constant conversation. God wants to know that, Lord, I don't understand why you let this happen to me. Again, maybe again. Lord, why are you allowing this to happen again to me? Then maybe you walk away. But you got to go back, Lord. I'm sorry. Oh, I can't understand. Lord, he wants a conversation. He wants an open conversation. But there's going to be a moment in time when he says, okay, I'll take care of this. Be silent. If you've ever been to a mountaintop experience, I've talked about that last sermon. If you ever been to a mountaintop, that you cry out to God because there is a mountain there that you can't move, even though you cried out, and maybe you thought you had the faith of a mustard seed, but still the mountain is there, right? The mountaintop experience is when you've been talking to God and talking to God, and you haven't give up that conversation. You haven't left him and been out in the desert where the evil one can get you, but you're right where God wants you to be. Having a conversation with God, calling out the name of Jesus. Why? Why, Lord? Why me? Why now? And my experience is as you call on the name of the Lord and as you go through this trial with him, he gives you that peace that I am in control. He says, now I want you to be silent. I will take care of this because you admitted, you understand that you can't take care of it, that it's out of your control. So just be careful when you are silent from the Lord. Don't be silent. Continue talking to the Lord. Continue reading. Continue praying. Go to your best friend. Go to whoever it is that you can talk to about it. Let Jesus always permeate your life like that. Didn't know a lot of hot air would dry your mouth out, but now let's find some good words or the attributes of Jesus. These are where Jesus took me. The Word of God is the weapon of choice when we run across something. But specifically, the weapons are words. Just like the world has words, God's Word has words. God's Word has words. I don't know what that is, but, and again, over 750,000 of them that you could choose from. But I got a list here, and you're going to recognize them for sure. Love. Jesus is love. Jesus is acceptance. Jesus is forgiveness. You know what I'd like you to do? You don't have to do it, but close your eyes. As I read these out to you, I want Jesus and his word to just roll over you, meld into your body. I'm going to read these. If you want to close your eyes, maybe something's happening in your life, maybe not. Maybe you just want to hear the good news of who Jesus is and how he can protect you. With what words? Again, Jesus is love. Jesus is acceptance of you. Jesus is forgiveness. He will forgive you. Jesus is mercy and grace. Jesus is compassion. Jesus is joy. Jesus is peace. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kindness. Jesus is generosity. Jesus is faithfulness. Jesus is gentleness. And Jesus is self-control. Amen. These are our weapons. And it's not that the rest of it isn't. Do not mistake me that this is, we should be reading this, we should be devouring it, we should be meditating on it. But on a daily basis, we should have these, the love, acceptance, forgiveness, kindness, they should be flowing out. Dick told me yesterday as I was sharing this with him, yeah, that should be flowing out of us. These weapons should be right here all the time. The love and kindness and compassion. Now, can they all be coming out at the same time? I don't know, you're certain, it's just a certain situation. The time that I need to be generous, the time that I need to be accepted should be right there. And how are they going to be right there? By constantly reading, by constantly being, by calling out the name of Jesus. When I come into a situation, I should be saying, Jesus. When I don't know what to do, Jesus. When I don't know what to say, Jesus. Sooner or later, the word will come up. The weapon of choice will come up. When Jesus says, I want you to be under control, Chris, that's one of the things I have to worry about. And I call out the name of Jesus, he is going to allow me to be under control. Because there's a lot of times I get out of control. These should be flowing from us. These are the weapons of choice. What weapon will you choose over hatred and greed and arrogance and violence? What are you going to choose when it knocks on your front door? When it knocks on your front door and Satan is saying something that's not true, what are you going to do? Who are you going to call upon? This is I shared this story with Kevin Tucker, and I didn't quite understand it either, but this is one of those words from the Bible. I thought it was just a great story. The lady was telling, I was reading all about weapons. I was reading about the weapons of choice, both worldly and godly. And there was this article where this lady was sharing that between her and her husband, it wasn't going so great. And the problem was that she wanted to have control, a lot of control and a lot of decision making and a lot of this and a lot of that. So they were doing this. Finally, she realized, she got on her knees and called out the name of Jesus. Jesus, what do I do? How do I take care of this problem that I'm having? What word do you think God gave her? Just someone shout out a couple words. Anything? Stop. Be still. You know what word God gave her? Submission. She said, God gave me the weapon of submission. God said to me, I am to be submissive to my husband. So you know what she did? She took that habit. Why did she do that? Because it's a spiritual warfare. Satan wants this all day long. He's happy with this. He's not happy with this. But she said, once I submitted to my husband, things started leaving this and going to this, and things got better. Submission was a weapon that God told her to use. Talking to Dick yesterday, he said, that's all of us. We all should be submissive. When things happen to us, when we're butting heads with our employer or employee or our neighbor or our friend, we should be submissive and go, Lord, I can't do it. I know I can't do it. What am I to do? We got to be submissive to God, to the Lord Jesus. We don't have any choice. Well, we do have a choice. That's the great thing about God. He gives you a choice. You can go out in the world and wander out in the desert if you want. Or you could sit there and say, Jesus, what word, what weapon do I choose today? You want me to be nice and understanding and compassionate to my fellow co-worker who's causing problems? I'll do that. I will be generous. I will be kind. Yes, Lord. You want me to be submissive? Yes, Lord. I will do that. All we have to do is ask the Lord. He'll give you the word. He'll give you words, or he'll give you a word. He'll give you words. You can throw a verse at somebody, or you can be active in doing something that Jesus wants you to do, loving somebody, showing mercy and grace. Another story, I don't know what time, is that zero mean I'm out of time? I don't even pay attention to that. I'm not even close to being. Is it seriously? Am I out of time? What's that? Yeah. I'm going to say it's Tom Bork's fault. It's Tom Bork. He took up my time. Wow. You know, I thought I shortened it. I've got to read this. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the soul and of the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. For the word of God is living and active. These words that I read to you are living and active. Are they living and active in your life? To God be the glory. Last week, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you, usually I come up and tell you what God is doing in my life. I'm going to steal a line from Lou Gehrig. I feel like the luckiest man in the world because of what happened last week. That God's word was living and active in the elders. They showed love and acceptance and compassion to me. I feel so blessed standing in front of you today. And I asked God before that, why me, Lord? Why do I have to be the one? You know what the Lord says? You've gotten this answer before. Why not you? What makes you above trials and tribulations, Chris? What makes you above all these things? I am so sorry that I didn't. This was so important, living and active. Are you choosing the right weapons, and are they living and active in your life? If the band could come up. Again, to God be the glory. To God be the glory of what happened to me last week. That I am a blessed man because of everything that happened. I got nothing but love from the elders board. I got nothing but love from this church, from this congregation. When I left here, I got nothing but love. It was God's word living and active in you. And I praise God for that, that I am a blessed man for it. And I want to thank you for that. The last words I will say, well, not the last because I got a benediction, but what weapon will you choose then to be active in living in your life?